downfield. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Well, get no cut. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. Off yesterday because of the snow. You can blame Chris Christie and the New Jersey State of Emergency that closed our office. But I would love to be here. But you know what? Now we have one extra day of information. New guys becoming available in free agency. And we could talk about it with you at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat, if you want to converse via social media. And here's where I want to go today, folks. Free agency will begin next week. We're 4 days away. Starts on the 10th. Today is the 6th, right? We've talked about all the needs the Giants have, how they should address things, what they should do, type of players they should target. But here's the deal. The Giants, if you want to go by what the media is reporting right now, could have around $13 to $14 million available of salary cap space after the Jason Pierre-Paul signing. Now, again, this is what the media is saying. This is not official numbers from the Giants or the league. So take it with a grain of salt. But for the sake of argument today, that's what we'll use. You got to say about $6 million of that, or give or take, for draft picks. So you're down to around $7 million. Now, there's a chance between now and Tuesday the Giants can free up space in other ways. We've talked about some of the players that they can talk to about that, whether it's an Eli extension, Prince extension, working with John Beeson on his contract. There's a bunch of different things you can do. But we don't know if that's going to happen. So let's talk about that $7 million or so they have right now where they're going to be able to spend. We know what they have to fill, the type of players they want. But the way free agency works now, you have to strike the iron while it's hot if there are guys that you really want. And a lot of times it's the big guys that go off the board first, but you have some lower-level guys go off quickly too if teams really want them and they're willing to pay the player what they want. So here's my question today. If you're the Giants, I'm going to put you in Jerry Reese's office. I'm giving you the phone. I'm giving you access to all the other GMs and all the agents' emails, all the agents' phone numbers. The clock strikes on Tuesday of next week. Where's your first phone call? What's the first guy that you're saying, this is the guy I got to have. I'm going to make the offer that's within the player's asking price. I'm not saying you're going to blow him out of the water. But who's the guys? You don't have to give me a name if you don't want to. What's the position? What's the type of player you want to focus on that you want to attack early in free agency? That you think is absolutely essential for the Giants to bring in this offseason, for them to really make a big jump in improvement in 2015. Who's the guy that you want, that you have to have? Is it an offensive lineman? Is it a defensive lineman? Is it a safety? I know a lot of people are on the big wide receiver kick. Who's the guy that you have to have when you go out in free agency to start this year? Right off the bat. Last year, we saw Rashad Jennings go off pretty quickly. We saw Jeff Schwartz go off fairly quickly. You understood who the Giants wanted. They went out and they got him. And again, these weren't the big $50 million guys, $50 million guys, $60 million guys, $20 million guaranteed type of guys. But they were important players. You know you needed them. They went out and they got him. So who do you want the Giants to bring in as their free agents right off the bat? You tell me. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And, of course, free agency is very important because based on what you do in free agency, how you fill out the roster, that will therefore affect what you want to do in the draft. So if you want to take the draft into consideration here, when you decide what to do in free agency, that's fine too. But again, we're trying to maximize dollars spent. And this is what I'm trying to tell everybody on Twitter now moving forward when you ask me about a player. The Giants have, and every NFL team, has $143 million of salary cap space. And you use that money, those resources, to bring in talented players. So what you're trying to do here is maximize the talent level for each dollar that you spend. So, for example, if you spend $7 million on Prince next year. I think that's what the option was for, about 6.8, right? You say, all right, well, you get a really good player, but it's costing me X. You know, it might be more valuable to get a guy, it's, you know, the veteran minimum, if he's going to give you $3 or $4 million worth of value. You know, that's the game. That's the trick. Can you get more output for that dollar amount? And that's what the great GMs do, and that's what Jerry Reese has done in the past, bringing in guys, you know, that he hasn't had to pay a ton to, but they've come in here and they've been very productive players. So that's what the Giants are going to try to do when they hit free agency on Tuesday. So who do you want? Who's your guy? Who do you want to bring in? I want names. I want specifics. I want reasons, and we'll talk about it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and lead off with our good buddy Tim in New Jersey. I haven't heard from Tim in a while. What's going on, pal? How are you?
Nothing. How are you?
Good, Tim.
Got a question for you. The Giants are going to sign Ndamukong Suh because the Lions didn't place franchise tag on him.
Tim, every team in the NFL, thanks for the call, bud, would love to have Ndamukong Suh. Love to have him. Love to have him, love to have him, love to have him. Best tackle in the league. Most disruptive defensive tackle in football. He's a monster. He's going to cost too much money. Just facts, folks. He's going to cost too much money. Now, could the Giants swing a bunch of different things to free up cash to maybe make a move like that? Is it possible? Yes, possible. I would consider it extremely unlikely. And remember, keep this in mind. If you're going to throw a ton of money at Sue, then you have a ton of money invested in Eli, a ton of money invested in Sue, and a ton of money invested in JPP. So you're looking at something like $40 to $50 million invested in three guys. That's like 20 to 25% of your cap right there. It's hard to afford that. So no. Sorry, Tim. I'm not going to say no chance, but I'm going to say very, very, very unlikely. 201-939-4513. Terrence is in New Jersey. Terrence, what's going on?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
I would like to see Devin McCourty, of course, but do you think he'll be asking for either more or the same amount that Antoine Roe wants?
I think you're going to have to pay Devin McCourty what you paid Antoine Roe the first time around, give or take. I'm not getting too exacts, but I think it's going to be similar to the contract you gave Roe a few years ago.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, yeah, guys, look, Devin McCourty, and he's a great player, he's going to want to get paid. And I don't blame him. This is his first time up for agency. He's a very good player. This is when you cash in if you're a player. You come in and you say, you know what, it's my turn, my time, it's my turn to get paid. And that's what Devin McCourty's going to try and do. He's going to go out there, he's going to try to get the most money possible. I still think, when all is said and done, that the Patriots will figure out a way to keep him around. I really do think that's the case. But I'm sure he'll take offers, and he'll bring those offers back to New England, and we'll see if New England's going to match him or not and give him similar money. But Devin McCourty's a great player. He can cover. He's in his prime. He's still relatively young. He's good at what he does. And I think he's going to be one of the most highly sought-after guys on the market. And I think Terrence's head is in the right place. I think what he wants to do is attack that safety position. And I know there are needs elsewhere, offensive line, front seven on defense, throw tight end in there if you want. You know, heck, you can improve every position on this roster, as Jerry Reese likes to say. But, right now, I don't think there's any other position on this roster with less experience and starting experience than safety. You know, Nat Burhey, we hope he's a good player. You don't know yet until you see him on the field a little bit more as a starter in the defense. Cooper Taylor can't stay healthy the first 2 years of his NFL career. Will that change? Maybe, but you can't count on it. So I think there is a need to find that guy and fit at safety. Bring him in early so you can get to him. I know some people have mentioned Raheem Moore from Denver. I think that would be a pretty good pick. Now he's coming off an injury, and everyone remembers that terrible play in the AFC Championship game. I get it. It was a terrible play, but he's a 25 years old or 26 years old. He's a young player. He has talent. He has ability. He actually can play that center field role despite that play. That, I think, is the type of mid-level guy that you don't have to break the bank for, but he could come in and help your team. And again, he's a young veteran. And those are the guys that I want fringed. I want the young veterans. I want the 26-year-olds, the 27-year-olds, the 28-year-olds. I'm not that interested in signing 31 and 32-year-old guys here. Not interested. 201-939-4513. Russell's down in Fort Knox. What's up, Russ?
Hey, what's going on? You see how the trade happened with the Jets, right? Brandon Marshall, right? It shakes up the draft.
Is that done now?
It's done. It's official. He's a Jet. Now it shakes up the draft. Now, this is the question I wanted to ask you. Is the offensive tackle for the 49ers better than the offensive tackle from Ohio? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is everybody's talking about and all these other players.
What offensive tackle from the Niners? You mean the guard Iapati?
Yeah, is he better than a guard from Iowa? This is how we gotta assess it. This is what the Giants gotta do, because now the Giants gonna have three choices at the draft. Cause somebody just slipped. Because Bears are going after a wide receiver. Monty Cooper or one of them are going to get drafted by the Bears because they just traded their best wide receiver, Brandon Marshall.
They also have Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett. It's not like they don't have any wide receivers on that team now. They still have an excellent wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey.
Nah, they're going to get Cooper. You got to get Cooper. They're going to get a younger Cooper. That's what I'm saying with the Giants.
Russ, hold on 1 second. Did you watch the Bears play defense last year?
Yeah.
They were awful on defense. And John Fox is a defensive guy as their head coach. I think the Bears are definitely going defense in this draft, even with the Brandon Marshall trade.
I hope they don't, though. I mean, I was calling up to hear what you were saying about who we're going to get in free agency. Like I said, we got to look at the draft and look at the free agency, and we got to see what's the best fit. Are we going to go get a expensive defensive tackle, or are we going to draft a defensive tackle? That's really what I had to say.
No, look, and that's the thing. Where are you getting your defensive lineman? Where are you getting your offensive lineman, Russ? And I think that's a good question. And I think when you look at it, I don't love the offensive lineman on the free agent market. I think Franklin's a good player. I think he'll probably get more than he's worth. The stuff that I've heard about Iapati, as talented he is as a run blocker, you know, some people think he's already in decline in that regard, and he's never been a good pass protector. Do you want to put a guy out there to protect your franchise in Eli Manning that's been poor at pass protection the last couple of years? I'm not sure if I want to do that. So I think there are red flags with those two guys, and those are the guys on the top of the offensive line market. I like Scherf. I think he'll come in. He'll be great right away. Is he going to be better right away than Iapati? I don't know. But you're also going to have to pay Iapati a lot more money than you're going to have to pay Brandon Scherf. So there is a give or take there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one of the linebackers from Clemson slips to 9. Are you going to take him? This is the questions I was just sitting there looking at. Like, wow, one of this linebacker slips, the one saying had an excellent combine. Are the Giants going to finally draft a linebacker now?
Well, look, Vic Beasley is an interesting player. The guy that I would pick in a second is Dante Fowler, but he's not probably going to be there at 9 right now. The thing with Beasley is that he was a 3-4 pass rusher in college. He didn't cover. He rushed the quarterback exclusively. So if you're drafting him as a 4-3 linebacker now, he's going to have to do things in the pros he's never done in college. Now, the Giants scouts will evaluate whether or not they think he can make that transition, and they'll decide before the draft whether or not he fits their scheme. If they think he does, I think Beasley would be in the conversation there. But if they don't think he can, you know, change his position and be a 4-3 outside backer, then he's probably not. But that'll be something for the Giants scouts to decide as they evaluate these guys over the next few days.
Yeah, they got a lot of evaluation to do because the draft just got shooken up.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. I appreciate it, Russ.
All right.
Thanks, man. I'm trying to find here, guys. Can you guys find what the Jets gave up for Marshall? Just a fifth rounder, huh? Wow. Bears are having a fire sale, man. And Marshall's contract wasn't even that bad. It was only something like $7.5 million on the cap this year. It's not terrible. It's really not. Though, I will say this. Brandon Marshall in New York with the New York media? Whew. I'll tell you what. And I see the Schefter article. And I guess they're saying it's a mid-round pick, fourth or fifth round, something like that. But, boy, Brandon Marshall in New York. I think it's a good trade for the Jets. Very good trade for the Jets. I mean, you're bringing a guy like Brandon Marshall. He's not old yet. You know, he's still in his prime. The only thing I worry about is his being mentally focused on football. That's what I worry about. But if you put him with Percy Harvin and Eric Decker, now I wonder if the Jets are going to keep Harvin now. If I'm the Jets, you bring in Marshall for 7.5. Harvin's due to make, what, 12 next year? I think something like that, 9? But it's all non-guaranteed. If they release him before the trade deadline starts, I'll check that Harvin contract. He's making a lot of money. We looked at it right now. Stand by, folks. And I know, you know what? I used to know exactly what it was, but now I don't quite remember. It's 11 this year? I knew it was something like that. Thank you, Greg. So 10, 11 million. for Harvin, but it's non-guaranteed, so they could cut him and not pay any of that. And after they just traded for Brandon Marshall, they could free up basically an extra $2.5 million of salary cap space, and they basically just traded Percy Harvin for Brandon Marshall. That's a heck of a deal. You know what I mean? I'm not the biggest Percy Harvin guy. That's just me. And I think you're fine with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. I think you have two very good wide receivers. I don't think you need Harvin there, too. So if I'm the Jets, I would really consider releasing Harvin now and then going toward those two wide receivers and using that salary cap space elsewhere if they want to let Percy Harvin go. But that's interesting. And now the Bears are going to see if they can get somebody else to take Jay Cutler. And Bob Papa and I were talking about this when he was done with the Sirius show. Now, Cutler's contract's a lot more prohibitive. That's why he's going to be tougher to move. And, of course, he hasn't played very well the last year. But, you know, a team like the Titans, they're sitting there. You know, Ken Wisenhunt didn't have a good year last year with that team. He's getting older. Are you going to put your faith in Zach Mettenberger? Do you like Winston or Mariota? If you don't love those two guys, maybe you like a guy like Cutler. He has the arm to run Wisenhunt's down-the-field offense. He's been in the league before. That could be a fit. We'll see if they can make that happen. 201-939-4513. It has really been an exciting few days, though, as these teams start to cut some of these guys. There were some other moves, too. Maurice Jones-Drew retired, by the way. The Colts say they're not going to re-sign Reggie Wayne. Matt Prater re-signed with the Lions. So the Dockett went to the 49ers. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And I should mention this, by the way. I'm sure everybody saw the video of the plane at LaGuardia yesterday that skidded off the runway. Larry Donnell was on that plane. He released a statement. He's fine. Everybody's good, thankfully. And they're still trying to figure out what went wrong with that plane, actually. I don't think they figured out why that thing skidded off the runway the way it did. There's two planes that landed just before, and they had, you know, they were able to come to a stop pretty easily. So I thought that was interesting. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny boy, how are you?
Doing all right, Dan. How are you?
Good. Listen, I am not talking about an giant impact thing here in the draft. In the free agency, I know a lot of little things go on, you know, and there's, of course, you know, sentimental reasons. And, you know, I know I've heard a little bit of talk about OC and a little bit of talk about Justin Tuck. I would think, you know, those from knowing those two guys for, you know, so long, and I would think that maybe, you know, I don't know how much I know, but maybe they might want to come back, finish their careers for like a lesser amount. And I don't expect these guys to come in and be like, you know, 5 years ago or something, but you know how we rotate those defensive linemen and defensive tackles? We rotate them and rotate them. I mean, and if we lose role, I mean, Tuck and OC, especially Tuck, you remember what leaders they were. I mean, just their verbal and their presence for the price, you know, and it might be something really, you know, and I mean, I'm sentimental, of course. I'd love just to see them in training camp and, you know, what they would bring to us, just the memories and just the great personalities. I mean, you think there's a chance of getting one of those guys, if not both? I know I'm being greedy.
Well, so Roland Tuck you're talking about?
What's that?
Who are you talking about, Roland Tuck?
No, I'm talking about OC or getting OC or getting Tuck back, you know, just for the right price, of course.
Well, Tuck's still under contract with the Raiders, so until he becomes available, he's not going anywhere, and the Raiders haven't let him go, so he's right now with Oakland. So I'd say the chances of that right now are pretty slim. As for OC, I mean, look, he could be a situational pass rusher, you know, play 20 to 25 snaps. I think that's what he's looking for. I guess they'll have conversations about it, and I get it using him on a rotational basis. But frankly, I would rather give those snaps at this point to DeMontre Moore, to Kerry Wynn, younger guys that you're trying to develop. You know, if you bring OC in here, he'll do exactly what you wanted DeMontre Moore to do, right? So I'd rather give Moore a chance to succeed than bring in a guy like OC, and then he's taking snaps away from the young kid.
Yeah, you're right, because we saw with Wynn. I mean, Wynn's been on the team for a few years, and he finally gets a chance, and then he was very impressive those last few games of last year.
Well, Wynn was a rookie free agent last year, so it was his first year with the team, and he was, you know, he came out of small school. He worked his way in, and the good thing about Wynn, too, is that he was able to play end in the base, and then he went inside sometimes rushing the passer as a three-technique defensive tackle. So he can do a little bit of both, which is a good thing, too.
I thought he was on the team more than a year. I thought he was like a couple of those players who you always see in the, you know, in the preseason and stuff, and they kind of hang around. But he was only on our team 1 year last year, huh?
Yeah, Kerryman was one of the undrafted free agents last, I guess, May that the Giants brought in.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I guess I got to, you know, just – I still, you know, I remember seeing O.C. sack Eli one time last year, and the crowd – that was at home, I believe. I was at that game. And, you know, they gave him a little bit of a, you know, sarcastic cheer, I think. But I guess I got to let go and, like you said, bring in more and win and give these guys a chance.
That's what I would do. I appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Thanks, Dan. 201-939-4513. Look, I get it. And, look, I do really think that there is a role for O.C. still in this league. The way this league works now, it's a passing league. You know, a team like Philly, who just let go of Trent Cole, he could be a rotational defensive end for them. I could see OC being a rotational defensive end in Dallas, where they try to rotate guys a lot, bring them in passing situations, put them at the end, let him rush the passer. I think Rod Marinelli would love to coach a guy like that. Again, he's strictly a 4-3 player, too. He's not going to play the 3-4, so that's something else to keep in mind moving forward. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rolando in New York next. Ro, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny boy. How you doing, bro?
I'm all right, Rolando. That's my second Johnny boy of the day. What's up?
Hey, homie. That's how I feel.
What do you got?
Okay. J-Ron Johnson at safety. Raheem Moore also at safety. I want to address the safety position based on the fact that we don't have anything there,
right,
more or less. And I'm a little concerned seeing Moore get a sling and not hearing much about Robert Ayer and his condition. So for a safety net, bringing in Trey Cole, the guy from Philadelphia, and see what the scouting thinks about a defensive tackle. I'm basically going cheap, John. I'm not going basement cheap, but I'm going cheap in terms of trying to fill my roster and try to fill in some spots and still see what's going to come down at 9. And that's my main concern, basically more or less trying to get a safety net and hoping to still be able to develop, you know, Nate Burr, the kid, the safety.
Yeah, Nate Burr.
Right, and the other kid, Cooper. What do you think about that, John?
You know what? Johnson's a 27-year-old safety. You know, he played, obviously, in Seattle last year, so, you know, he was a part of that big secondary. He's 27, undrafted free agent. Pro Football Focus had him slightly above average last year. Same with Raheem Moore. You know, I think those are the type of young veteran free agents that you would want to bring in to be a part of this team. Now, Johnson last year for Seattle just played 98 snaps the whole year, so he didn't get a whole lot of experience. Just keep that in mind with the type of guy you're talking about there. But look, I said at the top of the show, Rolando, and I stick with it. To me, the position that right now is barest in the cupboard, and this is no offense to Nat Burhey, no offense to Cooper Taylor, but they just haven't done it yet.
Right.
So that's why you have to find some veterans at safety that you can bring in here. Maybe it's Andre Wall coming back too. Who knows? He was on Sirius this morning. He said, look, I'm not trying to cash in on a mega deal. I just want to get paid what I think what my production warrants. So we'll see if the Giants are willing to give him what he's looking for in that regard. But you know, I think those are two good young veteran names that they could talk about that could be decent fits.
Okay, I read something the other day. I think it was yesterday. There was no show on. I was looking through the internet, and they were talking Miami Dolphins and Antrel Roll and $7 million. That's what they were mentioning in terms with Antrel Roll.
1 year, and $7 million?
They didn't mention the amount of years, but they just mentioned the amount, and he's kind of backtracking now in terms of what he's putting out on Twitter and all the other stuff where always a Giant. There's no talk between the Giant and himself, and it's just basically more or less like what you've been saying about the Justin Tuck situation, where it just seems like it's going to be about the money, you know, short term, like 1 or 2 years. But it seems like his name is attached with Miami Dolphins, and that's about it, Johnny boy.
Thanks,
that's all
bro.
I got for me.
Appreciate it, bro. Thanks,
Happy
man. One other thing, by the way, I should mention, and again. Guys, we don't know what's going to happen with Roll. We don't know what type of offer he's going to get elsewhere. We don't know what the Giants are going to offer him. And, you know, do I think he's going to give a hometown discount? No. But I think if the Giants come close to what another team's giving him, I think he'll probably choose to stay because he likes it here. That's my guess. But, again, we'll see what the offers are and what the market dictates. Mel Kiper did release Mock Draft 3.0. I should bring that up. And one thing Giant fans would not like to hear is that in Mel Kiper's mock draft 3.0, all the pass rushers are off the board by the time the Giants pick at 9. Leonard Williams, I know he's a tackle, goes 2 to the Titans. Fowler to the Jaguars at 3. Shane Ray to the Redskins at 5. Randy Gregory to the Bears at 7. And Vic Beasley to the Falcons at 8. That leaves no pass rushers on the board for the Giants. I don't think Dupree is good enough to warrant the 9th pick. That does mean the Giants have the opportunity to choose between the Amari Coopers, Scherf, Kiper gives them Andrus Pete, and then there's also Danny Shelton, the big defensive tackle out of Washington. That's on the board. So there are some options there if the Giants, if this board rather plays out the way Mel Kiper thinks it might. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Vic down in Florida. Vic, what's up, pal?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vic. What's up?
Love your show. I've been a Giants fan for 60 years, and I saw the 58 championship game against the Colts. I still can't get over it. But anyway, listen, what I wanted to say is that I read somewhere, either on the internet or in the paper, that Devin McCourty, the safety,
yeah,
he's if he's going to be a free agent, he would rather be with a New York team. Did you hear the same thing?
Well, I didn't hear that McCourty expressed it. And Vic, do me a favor, just turn the volume on your computer down for me.
Okay, buddy.
That's okay. I've never heard that he would rather play in New York. I think he likes it in New England, but. Look, the Patriots decided not to franchise him. That makes him rather available to every other team in the NFL. And I'm sure the Giants will kick the tires there. It's just a matter of whether or not they can fit him into their budget. He's a very good player. I think he's a good fit. They just have to figure out if they can meet what he's looking for financially.
Okay. Listen, the other thing, too, that I wanted to say, I've been wanting to say this for a long time.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a fan of Jerry Reese, okay? There will never be another George Young as far as I'm concerned. The thing that I want to ask is, last year or the year before, they let Marcellus Bennett go, who developed into be a pretty good tight end, and they got this guy Myers from Oakland who lasted 1 year. What happened there?
Okay, well, Vic, first let me say this. There will never be another George Young because everybody that's a general manager is their own guy, first of all. So Jerry Reese doesn't have to be another George Young. He's going to be Jerry Reese, and that's fine. In terms of the Martellus Bennett signing specifically, look,
yeah,
the Giants wanted to bring Martellus Bennett back. They liked him. They thought he was a good player. And frankly, I'm sure they thought he was a better overall player than Brandon Myers. Here was the problem. Martellus Bennett got a 4-year, $25 million contract from the Chicago Bears. The way the Giants' salary cap situation was that offseason, they just couldn't afford to bring him back with the type of money that he was able to get in free agency. And the Brandon Myers signing didn't work out. We know that. They let him walk the following year. I'm sure the Giants would have loved to have that one back and make a different move, but you can't go back in time and do that. But, again, they would have loved to have Bennett back. They liked Martellus Bennett. He just got too big of a contract offer from the Bears, and the Giants in that particular offseason couldn't afford to bring him back.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your call. I love your show. I'll be watching it every day.
Appreciate it, my friend. And, guys, look, I know a lot of people called about that Bennett move, but to see what Jerry Reese has done, you know, he took over in 2007. Added his own guys in that draft, and he was not in charge of the draft, but you know that was his main. That was what he did under Ernie Accorsi. Ernie Accorsi made the final decision, but Jerry was the director of college scouting. He did the draft. So those players that were brought in under Accorsi were in part because of the work Jerry Reese and his entire staff did. They did a fantastic job. So, and then you went from 2007, you came back 4 years later, you win again, and now I think we're going through a bit of a transition rebuilding effort. Now, of course, would Giant fans have loved it to go a little bit smoother the last 2 years and been in the playoffs? Absolutely. And I understand that. You want to be critical? Believe me, no one in the Giants organization is happy with the fact that the team's been under 500 for 2 straight years. No one's happy about that. And if you listen to the press conference after the season, they all expressed that. Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, John Mara. And everyone knows that things have to get better and quickly, and they're all working to do that. And Jerry Reese has had 2 very good draft classes in a row. He brought in some very good free agents last year, many of which got hurt. Jeff Schwartz, Thurmond, Rashad Jennings. The guys that are still here, you hope they come back this year and they play better and they do a good job. And we'll move forward. But obviously this is a big bounce-back year for the Giants. They have to play much better in 2015. And Jerry Reese will do all he can this offseason to make that happen, as will Tom Coughlin, as will the scouting staff, and everybody else in the Giants front office. 201-939-4513. Derek in Atlanta. Derek, what's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, you know, 5 more seconds and that plane is in the water in New York.
No, dude, I know, man. It's funny, but I've been flying in and out doing college basketball games the last couple weeks, and it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, the Brandon Marshall move, I think that kind of puts you know, the Jets in a situation that they're not going to take a wide receiver probably.
No, I would say probably not. I still think there's a chance they take a pass rusher. I think there's a chance they take a cornerback. I think Trey Waynes is a very good player. I would not put it out of the question there. Then, of course, there's still a chance they decide they could take a quarterback if he's there. So the Jets have some options.
And I do believe that the Eagles are going to try to move ahead of the Jets to prevent that. But I also think that Danny Sheldon and one of the edge rushers are going to be the first two targets on Chicago Bears, you know, checklist there.
I agree.
So that leads back down, goes back down to the Giants. And so I'm thinking now we could be, and I do really do think that, I don't think now that Vic is going to actually make it down to the Giants.
He might not. It's
just too much. It's too much. People are now projecting the gold number high as number 5, and they said that he would never get past the Falcons at 8.
Yeah, and so, right now, unfortunately, Derek, you know, before the combine, you know, I was hoping a guy like Dante Fowler might fall. After his combine performance, that became very, very unlikely. And right now, as you said, Beasley has jumped up the boards as well because of his excellent combine performance. So I think right now you're looking at the Danny Sheltons. I think you're looking at the Brandon Scherfs. I think one of the two wide receivers will be there. Again, I wouldn't go in that direction, but I think they're two of the more talented players that would be ranked that high. And I think those are the types of options the Giants might have, depending on what they think of Dupree. I think Dupree is the one pass rusher that a lot of people like that will be there at 9. I don't think he's worth a top 10 pick, but maybe other people, and heck, maybe the Giants scouting department thinks differently, and they know a lot better than I do.
Yeah, and you know what, and so I don't know if you saw the thing about Vic Beasley where he started out as a linebacker and his coach saying basically he could have came out in the draft and been one of the top linebackers in the draft, and the defensive line coach basically went to the coach and said, we need him on the line. And Vic Beasley, like, nah, I don't think that's for me. He wanted to, like, maybe think about transferring. The coach said, look, try it 1 year. If you don't like it, we can talk after the season. And, you know, we'll move you back. And he had 21 sacks in his first year at defensive end. And so the coach went back to him and said, you know, what do you think? He's like, nah, I'm going to stay here. So and then the coach also said that Vic Beasley – probably could have came out and been a first-round draft pick at running back. So he's almost like a Shaq Thompson almost kind of thing.
That's amazing.
That's kind of crazy. I don't know if you heard that story on NFL Network.
Yesterday. I had not. That is interesting.
But, yeah. So now, since we get to 9 and we think those pass rushers are going to be gone, does that change your opinion about one of the wide receivers again?
No, I still think it's more important to either improve the offensive line or the defensive line before I go wide receiver. That's just me.
And at that point, do you think that there's someone on the board that's better as a better draft pick? I mean, a value than the two wide receivers.
I think it's very close. I think they're right on the same level. But I honestly think a guy like Danny Shelton is a pretty unique talent. I mean, he's a guy that's 340. That can move. I mean, those guys don't, you know, grow on trees. They don't come out very often. So I think he's a unique type of guy. Do I think Brandon Scherf is a unique talent? No, but I think he fits exactly the type of guy that the Giants would want. Or if they want to go tackle, then they could pick a guy like Andrews Pete if they think he can, you know, play on the right side. So they'll have some options. Again, my whole thing here still, Derek, and I'm just going by what Coach Coughlin and Jerry Reese and John Mara said after the season. I realize they always say best player available, but I think eventually you'll get to the point where a couple guys are just about the same and you have to make a decision which position you need more. You got to get better stopping the run. You got to get better running the football, and you do that by improving your two lines.
Yeah. All right, I just wanted to check on you, you know, seeing that news that in the way that these mock drafts are falling down, did that have any influence on your opinion?
No, I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. And you know what? It does change things. And you're right. It looks like Beasley's jumping up these boards. And whenever you see the big combine performance, that's going to happen. Now, he could slide back down again when people review the game tape and decide, well, you know what? Do we think this guy can do it? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see. 201-939-4513. Jules is in Brooklyn next. Jules, what's going on?
Hey, I know I'm with you about getting Shelton or Scherff, but I just want to talk offensive line.
Yeah.
I heard that Scherff has an injury problem, and that bothers me because I want a number one pick to be very clean.
Well, I mean, the only
thing, you heard anything?
Yeah, the only thing Scherff did during the combine, he tweaked his hamstring running the 40-yard dash. But this is how I looked at that, Jules. That will probably, and I mean literally, be the last time Brandon Scherff will have to run 40 yards at full speed for the rest of his professional career. So that doesn't really bother me, a hamstring injury for an offensive lineman. If he had some kind of degenerative knee issue or some type of back issue or shoulder problems for an offensive lineman, I'd worry about that. A little hamstring pull for an offensive lineman, that doesn't bother me.
Well, are you sure that's it? Because I thought it was some hip injury that might need surgery or something like that.
I have not heard about that, but I will. If that's the case, I'd have to look twice. I will do some research on that right now, but I had not heard that.
Okay. So I'm with Scherff. That's, he'll be a big help to them. The Canadian center that they drafted, do you think he has any potential to make the team?
Well, you know, it looked like Scherff missed the second half of the 2012 injury. 2012 season because of a broken right leg, but that healed up and he played in 2013, 2014. So I don't think there's anything else besides that, to be honest with you. And what was your other question?
Well, you know, let's stick on that for a second. You want a clean first round pick. There's no question
obviously
about that.
But you know that's an injury back in 2012. He played two straight years without having any problems. So.
Okay, then that's fine. I'm sure the doctors will look at that. The Canadian center, do you think he has a chance to make the team? How good is this guy?
I think we have to wait and see, to be honest with you. I think that's a low-risk, high-reward type of signing. Do I think it's a given he makes the team? I don't think it's a given. I think he'll be given an opportunity to make the team. I haven't seen him do anything yet. I didn't even see what he looks like when he walked in the building, to be honest with you. So until I see more, it's hard for me to say what I think the percentage shot he has of making it. I think he'll compete. He's a guy that can play center and guard. I think that's very valuable, having a swing guy like that, to be honest with you. But he's going to have to beat out the other guys on the roster.
Yeah, and, you know, you keep talking about guard. When are they going to finally move Pugh to guard? They talk about this every year, and it seems that they don't do it.
Well, remember, it's not the Giants talking about it every year. It's the media talking about it every year. The only time you hear the Giants talk about it is when they're asked about it by the media. So it's not like the Giants have come out and said, well, this guy's eventually going to be a guard. They drafted him. They put him at tackle. They weren't bothered by his arm length. They made that pretty clear right after they drafted him. So I think it's under consideration. If they have to, they will. But I still think they're pretty happy leaving him out there at right tackle and letting him play there.
Yeah, he's done a good job. And my last question, who gave Beatty this crazy contract? I mean, he's getting all pro money, and he's just not that good.
Well, I can tell you. Look, 2 years ago, Will Beatty struggled. There's absolutely no question about that. But this past year, and I'm talking about 2014 now, and again, this is a unbiased source. This is pro football focus now, okay? So I'm bringing up, by position, I'm going to bring up offensive tackle, okay? This past season, Will Beatty, in terms of pass protection now, I'm just going to talk about pass. I'll give you the overall grade. In terms of overall grade, Will Beatty, according to Pro Football Focus last year, was the, of left tackles, let's see, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He was the 12th best left tackle in football. That's top half of the league. Is it top 5? No, but he was certainly a good enough left tackle where you put him out there, and he did a pretty good job protecting Eli Manning's blind side.
All right. Well, we have no choice. We have to stick with him.
Yeah, I don't think it becomes financially feasible to move on from him until next offseason.
Right. Let me just say I really enjoy your show. You have a really great show, and I'm really looking forward to the Giants season this year. For some reason, I think they're just going to be a playoff team, and we'll take it from there.
Well, Jules, I hope so too, my friend. I miss playoff football. It's been too long.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, bud. 201-939-4513. You know, just the pressure, the anxiety, the energy you get going into one of those playoff games. It's fun. It's fun. It really is, and it's missing it. Missing it a little bit. Jeffrey Rhode Island is up next. Jeffrey?
Hey, Johnny. How you doing
I'm
today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Did you have a snow day yesterday?
Yeah, once New Jersey issued that state of emergency, they closed down the office. So I was at home working all day pretty much on other stuff, but it was nice to be home, especially after only getting about 4 hours of sleep the night before.
All right. Well, that's a good thing then. Yeah, I guess logic would dictate that the first position we should draft in free agency would be safety, I assume. I don't know who's out there for us that's really available, but... I'm sure they're working on that. My question was, do you think the Giants might have any interest in Vince Wilfork?
You know what? He's still a good player. I think you'd have to limit his snaps a little bit because he's, you know, over 30.
Yeah, I think he's 33.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, you know, how many good years he has left. He's had some injury issues the last couple of years that worry you. If I can get him on a very cheap contract and use him on a rotational basis, I'd entertain the thought. But I'm thinking that somebody out there is probably going to be willing to pay him more money than I would. That's my instinct on it.
Okay. And one other thing, too. Maybe you can help me out with this. Do you ever remember one of Jerry Reese's press conferences where he said, I think he said this, I don't think I'm dreaming it, that he said that if any time I have a chance to pick between a playmaker and an offensive lineman, I'm picking the playmaker every single time. Do you remember him saying anything like that?
He said, you know, I have to go back and look at the tree. You know what? If you want to be patient here for a second, Jeff, let me see if I can bring up a transcript on my computer here because I think I saved this. All right, let's see. His postseason press conference would have been 12:30. All right, let me see if I can do a little – I'm going to do a quick search now in this – transcript and see if I can track down at all whether or not he was asked that question. Let me see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember him saying something
I remember something similar too, which is why I'm looking it up here. Let me see. He said something like that, right? Yeah, and I'm looking for the quote. Let me see. All right, well, here we go. Here's one quote. It's talking about risk. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. It's a lot easier to pick 12 than a 32. Talking about risks. You know what, Jeff? Let me, while the show goes on, I'll try and find it, but I do remember him saying something like that. I will try to track that down for you by the end of the show, all right?
Okay, buddy. You have a good day, pal.
All right, you too, Jeff. Appreciate it, my friend. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. I'll try to get to your Twitter questions as well as we move along here. Let's go to Eric in North Dakota up next, and I try to find this quote for Jeff. What's going on, Eric?
What's up? Good morning. Good morning. I mean, actually, good evening. Actually, good afternoon. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You got it right eventually. What's up, bro?
Hey, John, I have a couple questions.
Sure.
What's the deal with John Beeson's contract? I know Giants were talking about, like, you know, lowering his salary. Are they trying to do that right now to restrict the contract or what?
There has been no word on it yet from the Giants. They don't make that sort of stuff public, Eric. So if they're working on it and something gets done, we'll hear about it in the next few days before free agency starts. I know Beeson has a high cap number, and he has a lot of injury issues. So, you know, we'll see if they can come to an agreement to keep him on the team for a lower number. I'm not even sure if they're having that negotiation or not. But if they are and it happens, we'll know in the next few days.
Okay, that was good. And my last question is right now, John, is for the Giants free agency, what do you think we should get for the Giants? A safety or a defensive end or what?
Well, the first thing I would go after, and I said this at the top of the show, Eric, is safety. You know, I think the team really does need a safety only because their young guys, as talented as they might be, I think what you're looking for is, you know, a veteran to, you know, step in there and do a good job. you know, because and be a leader and organize everything in the secondary. I think all those things are things that you're looking for, where you need a guy in that back end, especially in Steve Spagnuolo's defense, like James Butler did back in 2008, that he can come here, he can step in, and he can lead that secondary. And I think you do need a guy like that back there.
So you're saying there not what are you saying? So what's our chance with Antoine Roe? You think it's his final year with the Giants?
You know, that's a good question. The problem is, I think Roe wants to be here. I think the Giants want to be here. The issue is that the safety market right now is pretty bare. There aren't a lot of great safeties out there. That's number one. And number two, there's a lot of money out there. I mean, there's a lot of teams that need to spend money. And a guy like Roe could be very valuable to a lot of teams. So I think the Giants and him might be able to meet in the middle somewhere and find the contract that works for both sides. But I also think it'll be tough. I think it'll be a tough negotiation. And it all depends what else he can get from somewhere else. And that'll go a long way in determining whether or not he'll be with the Giants next year.
Okay. All right, John. Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate it, man. I'm trying to find this quote here, and it's killing me. I'm all into the draft stuff here, and I cannot find it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. I'll try to find this thing somewhere here. Let's go back to the phones for now. And say hello to Sam in D.C. Sam, what's going on?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well, Sam. How are you, pal?
I'm doing right. First and foremost, hey, love the backdrop. I'm trying to see if I could get the same kind of replica in my man cave this year before the season
starts.
Yeah,
you know, we've had a couple of different iterations of this. You know, we got a lot of old stuff here. We got some old. We got Dick Lynch right over here. We got LT, Chase Blackburn making the play on the Gronkowski pick. We got some, you know, we got Eisen over there too, celebrating Strahan, Tyree. So we try to mix it up a little bit and keep it fresh.
Yeah, definitely every Giants fan's dream wall. And
I appreciate it.
I say probably for the next show, you guys should add a poster back there. Don't mention Cooper or Sue, please.
Wait, you mean Amari Cooper?
Yes, in the draft, and then free agency, Sue. And I could understand why I get a little bit frustrated when I talk to some of my Giant fan friends on those picks as well. And I guess, you know, we were eating some wings and we were talking about Sue, and I think what we said was we kind of came to the conclusion that what intrigues us about a player like Sue, not necessarily Sue, is the identity piece. You know, he brings a sense of physicality to whichever team that's going to take him. And that's great. Understand probably from a Giants financial perspective, we can't afford necessarily Sue. But from a physical perspective, I mean, week after week, one thing I heard you guys talk at game after game was, what's our identity? We really didn't establish last year an identity on offense or on defense. I guess on offense a little bit when Beckham got going, we really became more of a passing team than a balanced team the way we were in our football, in our Super Bowl years. But on defense, I mean, do you think that physical aspect of hard nose, stop the run, you know, we're going to out-physical any team that comes in and plays us, do you think we've lost a little bit of that?
Yes, I think we have. And I think Tom Coughlin said it, actually. It was after before this past season, where going into training camp, if I'm not mistaken, Tom Coughlin came out and said straight up, guys, look, we need to be the more physical team this year. We need to be the tougher team this year. We need to be the team that wins the battle at the line of scrimmage, that pushes the other team around. We need to reestablish ourselves in the trenches. And I think that was a goal this past year. And I think they tried to address that in the offseason with some of their moves, and it obviously did not go as well as they would have liked. The team's still struggling in that regard, and I still think that's part of this offseason, to become a tougher team, to become a stronger team, to become a more physical team that can dominate the tenor of the game. And look, I understand why the Giant fans would want Ndamukong Suh to help do that. He's a heck of a player. He's a great player. I'd love to have him here, too. It'd be fantastic. It'd be fun to watch. But sometimes economics wins out in this business, and that's just the one reason it's not going to work out.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And from a perspective of physical players, I agree with you too that there are players out there in via free agency or in the draft that can bring that aspect to the team, and you don't necessarily have to pay him more than, I mean, what's this guy asking for? More than J.J. Watt is being paid, you know, to come and play for a team, put on a jersey. What do you think about Dan Williams' nose tackle? He reminds me a little bit of Fred Robbins back when we had him, and I think Steve Pia. What do you think about those two guys from a perspective of stopping the run and probably bringing their talents over to the Giants?
I think Pia is probably going to be a little bit more expensive because he's younger. I think he's about 26 or 27, and I think he'll probably get a little bit more money. Dan Williams is on the other side of 30. He's still a very good player. If you can get Dan Williams at a decent low cost, that definitely would be somebody that I would talk about. Pro Football Focus has him ranked as their fifth best defensive tackle on the board in terms of free agents. They have Pia at 2, Terrence Knighton at 3, and Damon Harrison at 4. And then Dan Williams is actually tied with Harrison in terms of their overall rating. So, yeah, I mean, Dan Williams is only 28, actually, by the way. I take that back. Pia is 27. So I think both guys will probably get, you know, pretty decent money. I like both players. I think they're both excellent. I think both would help the Giants. It's just a question of at what cost you can get them at.
Yeah, and totally agree with that. And then from a draft perspective, I guess if the Giants were to shore up the defensive line, I totally agree with you from a perspective. I think then we should go offensive line if our guy's there. But do you think Sheriff?
I'm fine with that.
I mean, there's a give and take here, and the bottom line is we need another guy to kind of solidify the line. Is that more of a value pick, Sheriff, or do you see a guy who's probably equal to him rising up the draft boards on from an offensive line perspective, other than Sheriff, that could be considered top 10?
Well, I mean, Mel Kiper, I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, man. You know, Mel Kiper in his previous draft, and I thought it was a very good call, very good points there. In his recent mock draft, he had Andres Pete as the other guy that snuck into the top 10, and he was a guy the Giants could have taken there. So I do think it's interesting that he's kind of snuck into that top 10 now. I haven't seen Lyle Collins make that same type of move. You know, Pete is the tackle, though. He's not going to move into guard. He's 6'7". He's a big dude. Some people think he's more of a left tackle. Some people don't think he's got enough good enough feet to be a left tackle. They think he's more of a power guy on the right side. I'm honestly not sure how the Giants evaluate him, to be quite honest with you. I think that's something they're going to have to figure out on their own. So I think Pete's the only other guy that could sneak into the top 10 based on what I'm reading and seeing and what I've seen from some of these players. 201-939-4513. Again, great call. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones. We got two more before we say goodbye. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, John. Yeah, I was just looking at that draft, too. Everybody's saying, Sheriff, there's another guard, John, they were talking about. It was even on our .com. I seen it. I forget their name. They had another guard rated as they were talking about it on the NFL Network. I mean, as being maybe the top lineman ready to go, and that he Morton held his own up against Shelvin that he played against, or it was in the combine or something like that. You know who they were talking about?
Not in terms of a first-round pick. I know they talked about it at the Senior Bowl. A couple guys did pretty good against Shelton, but there's no other guard that would go in the first round that would be on the same level as those other guys.
Yeah, they were talking. Yeah, it was just on our .com. I forget his name there, and he was up against them, and he did a job on them. They said, you know, Morton held his own, so... But, well, whatever it is, I'll find out his name there. But I'm just saying all these guys are going to be here and that. And do you think these, you know, rated in value like you're talking about, well, the Giants are going to miss out on some of these defensive ends. You think they're more valuable than the offensive linemen here?
I don't know if more valuable is the right pick. I mean, there are some guys that are the edge pass rushers in this draft, Joe, that I don't think would fit the Giants. I don't think Shane Ray is a fit for the Giants. I don't think Randy Gregory is a fit for the Giants. So if it gets down to it and Shane Ray and Randy Gregory's there, and the Giants could also pick, you know, a really good offensive lineman or Danny Shelton, a really good defensive tackle, I'll take the offensive line of the tackle any day of the week.
I'm just saying in value to him, where do you think that other top wide receiver ranks up against him, not White, the other one?
Amari Cooper?
Yeah. Is he higher there in value, would you say, you know?
Frankly, in my opinion, I like Amari Cooper more than I like Kevin White. That's me, by the way. I know a lot of people disagree with that because White did better at the combine. I'm more of an Amari Cooper guy myself. I think Cooper is right in the mix with, you know, those guys that we're talking about. I think they're all kind of in that same tier.
Yeah, and there might be – do you think was there a cornerback going to go before the Giants pick, you think?
Most people don't have a corner right now going in the top 10. Waynes is the only guy from Michigan State, and he actually had a much better combine than people thought that he would. I wouldn't be super, super duper shocked that the Jets took him at 6 because they have such a need at corner. But most people are saying there will not be a corner picked in the first round.
I'm just looking at all these players that somebody else might have a real higher grade on, one of these players, and it sounds like the Giants are going to have picks on either offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, or one of these receivers or so, and that somebody else might value them a lot more, and it might be in Giants' best interest to drop back and be able to pick up like a safety, like I said, and one of these offensive or defensive linemen possibly.
All right, Joe, appreciate the call, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Take it easy. Final call of the show is Big in New Jersey. Big, wrap us up, baby.
Hey, what's going on, Johnny boy?
I'm doing all right, man.
Hey, listen, Brandon Sheriff, he had a torn meniscus, and he had a broken ankle also.
Yeah, but that was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, but I still think I'm like you. I think Danny Shelton is going to fall to us in that first round.
Yeah, you know,
I would love to get Danny Shelton, man. Him with Hankins on the line would be just incredible.
Big, I think there's a very good chance he's there too. I agree.
And Jerry Reese made that comment on the Fan. He made it on the Fan when he was talking to Mike Francesa.
That's what it
season was.
That's why. And you know what? I knew he said it after the year, and he said it in an interview with Francesa on the Fan, and that's why I couldn't find it in that damn transcript. Thank you, Big. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I just have one more thing. That free agency, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford McCourty, but what about, seriously, I think if we get safety and a guard, like I really want Franklin, but if we can get Denoris Searcy from Buffalo, I'm telling you, this guy is an ascending player, man. I think we're going to go after Searcy and not go after McCourty. I think McCourty is going to be too much for us to handle right now. But I think we should – Orlando Franklin, I will invest in him and Denoris Searcy. And I still think we should go after Hakeem Ayers, man. I believe those three right there.
I think those are good names. Thanks for the call, Big.
All right. You have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, bud. All right, a couple tweets real quick. At Jamie Nolan, at JMan5613. Giants could probably trade down and still get Pete. Not sure how far. I've seen Pete go in the top 15 in most drafts. Student Mangle, if the Giants move down, how many spots do you think is okay? I wouldn't go past 13 to 14. I think that's fair. I wouldn't go much past that either, Stu, to be honest with you, because I think then that's where you're going to get that big drop-off in talent. Let's see. Ben Gruen, is Pete going at 9 crazy? ? Would they draft and replace Beatty in 2016? I don't think Pete at 9 is crazy. I don't. I mean, if you want to tackle, he's the guy you would pick. Let's see what else we got here. Charlie G, George Young killed the Giants in the 90s. Yeah, you also got your 2 Super Bowls, Chief. So, just remember that, too. You want to, and that's fine. You know, he struggled replacing Phil Sims. I'm not going to argue that. You had some issues in the mid-late 90s. Not going to argue that either. No argument. 0-0-0. But he did some pretty good things for you before that. Just keep that in mind. All right, everybody. Excellent job. Thanks on the phones. Thanks on Twitter. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Monday. A couple of big free agencies notes for you next week. Maybe get some extended Big Blue Kickoff Live. Get some extra calls in Monday through Friday next week as we get into free agency. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great day.
We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch.
Broken intercepted.